We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Continued journey on making sure you are perpetually reloading your fantasy football roster and thinking about how dynasty trade value works. And we're going to talk about that today with certain players in mind, but it's also something that can be moved player to player. And this time of the year can be very interesting with free agency just finishing up. Myself and Sean did a show on Monday where we talked through some of the huge amount of free agency moves over the last week and how to maybe think about the player values at this point. And is it at the point now where you will get a value, or is that point going to be in 3-4 weeks, maybe even a month or two down the line when players start to sink into the reality of what is happening with certain players and certain moves, a la a Justin Fields potentially, for example. Then we're going to talk a little bit about long-term prospect evaluation and how to see. We get lots of questions, Sean, as to who are the players we're trying to target or where are maybe some of the values, and that can be tricky. But when you're looking at some of the stats, for example, just general stats in the NFL in terms of what players have done in their career, using some of the advanced tools on rotoviz.com and digging in a little bit deeper, trying to decide what players are, you know, it's easy to look back and say, oh, that player broke out, that was an extreme value at the start of the season. It's harder to tell people before the season who those players are. So I'm looking forward to answering some listener questions today to look into those player evaluations and to help people to perpetually reload those dynasty rosters. And the thing about these sort of conversations, dynasty focused, but very much with a mindset to these players having big seasons in 2024, which obviously helps you for redraft best ball and so much more. How are you feeling, Sean, as we get ready to dive into this one?
Yeah, I've got so many of the leagues going over at the RV Triflex with the FFPC, and as we really try to shape the rosters going into 2024, these questions are a lot of fun because they address a lot of the specific players, but then also the general types of things that you want to do to make sure you have the most dynamic and competitive roster. Colin, something that's pretty cool recently as we continue to bring on some new and just fantastic writers, we have a dynasty expert who has been looking at a variety of things and may have some articles out in the near future, one of which discussing how the RotoViz tiered rankings, which again, our tiered rankings are helping to give you specific draft compensation that you should be looking for back, allow you to use it as not just rankings, but essentially a trade calculator, that those rankings have been able to anticipate movement within the dynasty space. And that's what we're looking to do, right? You want to be early as opposed to late on how these player valuations are going to move. That's the way that you're able to profit. So we want to make a lot of moves because the trades that we do are going to be win-win for the two managers involved. They're going to be losses for the other 10 managers. Clearly, the calculation there is the more trades that you participate in, the better that your roster is relative to the field. But we also want to make the types of trades that are likely to come out in our favor. Now, we're going to make fair trades, but trades, again, anticipating moves within the dynasty space and also the types of trades that allow us, as we talk about on the show all the time, to perpetually reload. Colin, the questions that we have today are really cool because they are nuanced enough to really drill down into specific elements of this that we want to consider that may not be so straightforward. Because one of the things that we want to be careful about, one of the things we talked a lot about through the years with zero RB, is that you can execute zero RB in a way that, yeah, I mean, it's still probably a little bit better than the other ways to draft and redraft or best ball. But you can mitigate most of the advantages just by doing it in a bland fashion or simply an incorrect fashion. You can make some mistakes with perpetual reloading that are going to take away some of the advantages you should have created for yourself. So we want to be flexible enough within that general template that we get all of the benefits as opposed to just maybe the most obvious ones.
Yeah, so we're going to jump in. And I'm wondering, in this setting, you mentioned the nuance. It may be better to give both questions and then to work through both of those in terms of how they could potentially work. But this question comes in from Clayton, and it did come in. I always say we try and squeeze it in when we can. We thank Clayton for his patience as he waits on this one. But he's talking about perpetual reloading and Tyreek Hill's dynasty value. He mentions he was recently offered Devontae Smith plus the 212 for Tyreek by the manager who beat him in this year's championships. He said, I can probably counter to sweeten the offer. He also has the 202, for example. Both our squads are most likely going to be contending for next year. He said, this is the main part of the question, really. Obviously, you have the trade element, but when is the right time, if ever, to cash out on a player like Tyreek who can win you any given matchup single-handedly, and how much in return is enough? He says he wants to be competitive every year, but also believe you need these game breakers like Tyreek to win championships. Thanks in advance for answering whether or not you answer the question. He says he loves listening to the advice year round. So thanks to Clay for sitting on that. And I mentioned, Sean, I think we will wait to do the second part of the question, but it will filter into the player evaluation side. So when we look though at Tyreek Hill, I think is a prime example of somebody who you're looking at a perpetual reloading and how to build your team in this scenario. So we have Hill, who is now just turned age 30, so turned 30 on the 1st of March. Still looks like he has pretty much all his elite end, you know, athleticism, coming off two back-to-back seasons of 119 catches exactly, both seasons over 1,700 yards, seven touchdowns in 2022, 13 touchdowns in 2023. Great numbers throughout his career, but we're in a situation now where I would say, Sean, we're beyond the age curve at this point, you know, as a 30-year-old wide receiver. And players are continuing, you know, the elite end ones to put up numbers beyond the 28, 29, 30 age, but they are still the outliers. And in this situation, I guess, to start answering this question, it becomes I want to be competitive every year. That is the part that when you are competitive every year, detaching yourself from having that exact player and trying to move back to younger and to reinvest with picks and assets into your roster is where you actually become competitive every year. Because you can have Tyreek Hill for 5 years, but that's going to run out eventually. And you do need at some point to move on. And it's better at this point to move on that 1 year too early than to move on that 1 year too late. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, hang out with friends, read a book. So many options. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The best way to squeeze some more into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make that a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I began therapy in early 2023, and I found it has helped me set boundaries, learn positive coping skills, and add a lot to my day-to-day, and some of that being prioritization, to be able to focus on what is important at that time rather than trying to focus on everything that is going on in my life at that exact moment, which leads you to not be in the moment because you're thinking about stuff that is out of your control. And having that awareness has helped me throughout my day today. And that is something that I have found to be very positive for me. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rotoviz today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RotoViz.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
And that's definitely the case. And when I'm looking at my rankings here, I have Tyreek Hill as the wide receiver 11, Devontae Smith as the wide receiver 25. At the wide receiver 11, Tyreek Hill does fall to the very top of tier three, as opposed to sneaking into the bottom of tier two. And so that is a meaningful break, even though he ends up in sort of the overall rankings to be a middle of the third round startup selection. When we're thinking about perpetual reloading, we're thinking about moving guys like Hill while the value is still really, really high. Now, the reason that I have Hill up there at 11 is for exactly the reasons that the question mentioned for Clay, what you just talked about there, Colm. And yet, because that production is still so high, in many cases, you'll be able to move him for something pretty significant. When I talked about the nuance for perpetual reloading, though, one of the things that I do want to make sure we always consider is, have we executed the strategy to the point where we have enough total depth to occasionally keep a guy like Hill or a guy like Kelsey, a guy like Christian McCaffrey, and more or less take them to zero? Because we know that we've gotten them up into the age range now where any bad season is going to essentially eviscerate their dynasty trade value. You won't be able to move them for anything that really matters as soon as they have, you know, even, you know, a bad four or five game stretch. You think about what the week end of the season did for Kelsey and then how he was able to rehab a little bit of that with the strong playoff performances. But one of the things here is that if you have executed perpetual reloading to the point where you are loaded with young talent, you can occasionally keep that guy and you don't have to do it. So when we're thinking about the players that we want to move, it would be guys sort of in that next group of producers. You want to move a DJ Moore at this time period where he's coming off of a great season, but his ability to give you something like Tyreek Hill is going to remain limited. You have someone like a Brandon Ayuk. These peak players where the ages that they're at are still very compelling to most other managers, and the scoring level is high enough to, you know, really draw the eye. You get in that 15, 16, 17 point per game range, and a player is 25, 26, 27, and you can move them for an absolute ton. You get back a lot of flexibility. You get back a lot of pathways. You potentially get back a player who just right away will score at the same basic level and is 3, 4, 5 years younger. You give yourself a lot of options. You get out of those guys before they fall off. For me, Hill is somebody, if you're going to score in this, you know, 20 to 22 point per game range, then it does accomplish the exact thing that Clay talked about, which is that you have a guy who cannot be replicated in a starting lineup by somebody else. And because of that, he allows you to win. Now, one of the things we talk about all the time is that your goal is to get that bye every single season, put yourself into the semifinals. Hopefully you've got enough of an edge in semifinal projected points that you win more often than you lose. But when you get to those final four teams, it's going to be a little bit of a crapshoot. You've got to get there every single year. So there is a value to making sure that if there's a hill move out there, that you execute it and keep yourself in that bye category, knowing that, you know, if Tyreek Hill has this bad game in the semis and you are out and you have suddenly dramatically limited what your team can be in the future. So I guess to be even more specific with this, if your team doesn't have depth and you have Tyreek Hill, then you want to move him. If you've gotten to the point where your team is both mature and young, so by mature, basically you mean not that it's old, but it's built out to the point that, I mean, you have more or less an empire. If you have that, then I think you can hold him and really focus on trying to win those last two games. Then the other part of it that comes into play here too is just kind of knowing the market and knowing the prices, because one of the things that happens is that once players get to Hill's age, a lot of managers do feel the pressure to move them, and they will get involved in conversations with two or three different managers who want that player. The offers aren't great. You're seeing, okay, well, I'm going to play this manager off this manager off this manager, and by doing that, I get to this particular package that still is pretty underwhelming. If you end up with an underwhelming package after you've interacted with the managers in your league who were interested, just keep him, right? But if you go through that same process and one of the three, or just it doesn't, one of the three, one of the five, one of the 11 other players is willing to overpay based on the future time horizon, what have you, then go ahead and accept. So I think when we're looking at Tyreek Hill, even within a perpetual reloading overall framework, we want to make sure that we're thinking about specifically what our team looks like in the specific offer that we're getting back. Those two pieces have to be in place when we're trying to decide which way we want to fall on this idea of sell or don't sell Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, and I think obviously the roster construction of the whole thing is a vital part. Interesting to, you know, I think for most people there's going to be maybe a little bit of a lack of depth to still look to move on, but you've highlighted the nuances of obviously you need somebody to be a willing trade partner that wants to buy them. Going back to Clay's question in relation to the trade offer, Devontae Smith and the 212 for Tyreek Hill, he mentioned the other manager also has the 202, for example, so maybe to go back, counter that with the 202 and Devontae Smith. But Smith may not be the exact player, but just to give the idea of the trade negotiation itself. But moving up from the, you know, 212, so late second to early second, or a, you know, putting in a third and a trade to a second or a first, how do you feel in those sorts of deals when you mentioned your rankings and, you know, Hill being at the end, you know, the start of a tier and where Devontae Smith is in terms of the rankings? Is in those examples, you know, moving up those 10 picks something that would be making the difference between the value of those two players if you were looking to trade out of a Hill or a veteran player in this perpetual reloading example?
Yeah, so the way that my rankings are currently set up, this trade is pretty fair, with the exception of the note that you make there, which is that the 212, I mean, once you get to this point in the season, and it's not a thing of looking, you know, 6 months ahead or, you know, 9 months ahead, not necessarily knowing where those picks are going to come out, you do want to then be very aware as you're making your individual moves of, you know, what's the value of the 201 through the 204 versus the value of the 209 through the 212. These aren't generic second round picks anymore when we're looking at it from this perspective. And so if you get up to the 202, this offer would be pretty interesting to me. I think that one of the things that we're going to find is that after the receivers tested well at the combine, and once we find out a few of the spots for the running backs, then that range from like the 110 to the 202 is going to firm up to be pretty exciting for managers. And so I think if you can get to the 202 there, I would do this trade. I think at the 212, it's not that you can't hit on that. Monty and I were kind of looking through our team as we kind of finalize our strategy for this coming season. And one of the things that was interesting is some of the guys that we missed on in 2022 and this amazing 2023 draft where we had like 4 second round picks, and all of those guys look like they're going to have, you know, future first plus value. And so if you have 4 second round picks and all those guys end up to be first round values in the future and go on to be long-term starters, then, you know, having had that depth, being able to make those picks, and that's one of the reasons why it's valuable to have a lot. I referenced the fact that we missed on some guys in 22, but in 23, we're able to overcome that by outperforming, you know, so significantly. And as you move up in the second round, they're going to have chances. I don't want to say the 212 gets this off the board for me, but if this is a team that is deep and is about to compete again for a title, I don't know that Devontae Smith and the 212 are enough for me to pull the trigger here.
Moving on to the second kind of question that I teased at the start of the show with the player evaluation. But when people talk about, you know, players to buy low or players to try and target, get your thoughts. It'll be interesting to see, Sean, where the second player here ranks against Tyreek Hill. But Tyreek Hill did shout out a couple of weeks ago in terms of, you know, Jalen Waddle being a better player at this point of his career than he was. Some of the stats for Hill versus Waddle in the first 3 years in the NFL in terms of catches, yards, catch rate, yards per catch. We have Tyreek with 223 for 3,255 yards, 68.6% catch rate for 5.6 yards per reception. Then Jalen Waddle at 251 receptions for 3,385 yards, 69.5%, and then 5.5 yards per reception. So very similar across all those numbers. The extra, you know, 27 or so catches for Waddle in that sample. And then for touchdowns, targets per route run, and yards per target, we have Tyreek leading the way on touchdowns, 25 touchdowns, 24.2% in targets per route run, and then 10 yards per target. Jalen Waddle, 18 touchdowns, 24.3%, and then 9.4 yards per target. So fairly close, Sean, across the board. But the difference is that in those first 3 years, Tyreek Hill kind of touched up every season. You know, it goes from 61 receptions to 75, 87, but big jump in year two in the yards, and then big jump in year three with the touchdowns, where he had 12 touchdowns. So we have, you know, a little bit of the opposite, where we have very consistent, I think we would say, with Jalen Waddle, but the rookie season with 104 receptions, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, being across the board the most. Well, I disagree with that now that I said it. To the 2022, he did have only 75 receptions, but 1,356 yards and 8 touchdowns. So, but both with very interesting things. But Waddle, who hit so early, feels like it should have just kept on that elevator that had increased every season and continued to increase. But he's also playing across from Tyreek Hill, which, you know, it's hard to do exactly what Tyreek Hill does. But the other part of it was there was points of the season last year, whether it was injury related or whether it was performance related, but there was times where he didn't look as good as he has in those first two seasons either. So it's trying to find that balance. Is, you know, very rare that he would have just lost a step in year three, but there was a lot of things that weren't as good as those first two seasons. But first question is, where's he ranking in your wide receiver rankings at this current moment in time? And then when you're trying to evaluate the trajectory of somebody's career, having had that early career success, the likelihood of that replicating, you know, he's done it 2 of 3 seasons at a very high level. So do you feel it's more likely that that continues to replicate and the third season is the lower scoring year, or how do you see this playing out as we move forward? And I guess we're doing this for Jalen Waddle, but just players in general, when we're looking at those players to try and target heading into seasons.
Yeah, and I don't want this to sound simply like, you know, we're arguing that the play we made last year with Waddle, that it should have worked. But there are things that are misleading about this. This is a really cool tweet from Warren Sharp. It does point out the similarities between these guys. I think it's easy to forget how good Waddle was early. I think it's easy also to like not give him the full credit for the fact that he's been asked to do very different things in different seasons. And he has played as a rookie in a situation that wasn't particularly good. And he was able to put up a very high volume reception season in that campaign. Now, simply the fact that Waddle and Hill were similar early in their careers doesn't mean that Waddle will be able to emerge at the level that Tyreek Hill has, because that's such a unique type of thing. He's also, despite having incredible speed, he's pretty clearly not the overall athlete that Hill is. He's not the same type of game breaker. So you're not expecting him to go and necessarily have a season with, you know, 20 plus points per game. You're not expecting him in his late 20s to be the best receiver in football. The fact that their numbers are similar early in their careers doesn't in any way, shape, or form suggest that the end of their careers will be similar. But it is a reminder that Waddle has been good and that you just want to buy guys when they're down, right? I mean, you can look at the different prices on players like, you know, the 49ers guys, like Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel. Just always buy them when they're down, always sell them when they're high. And I mean, you can do similar types of things, I think, with these Dolphins players, certainly with Waddle. The punishment that he has gotten for a season that was still pretty strong, when you think about the context he's heading back into next year, where it's going to be the two guys, the target concentration is going to be very high. It's going to be hard to focus on. Now, one of the things is that defenses have been able to focus on both guys to a greater extent than most teams have, simply because the Dolphins have nothing else in the passing game. You know, does Jonnu Smith really do anything there by adding some yard after the catch value to the tight end position? I mean, probably not. Ideally, they would have like a little additional something, but this is an offense I think that can still take another step, even though the sort of motion that they added as an innovation early last year really lit the world on fire in that first half. I think you've got to give Mike McDonald credit for the possibility and the likelihood that they remain dynamic. To be fading a player who has been this good early in his season, early in his career, and is going into another season where it's a very high floor, high ceiling situation, just because last year what you got was the high floor doesn't mean that 2024 couldn't be the high ceiling. If he gets that at his price, he's a very clear-cut league winner. You want to be aware of just how different these two guys looked in 2023. I mean, they're not the same player, regardless of what Tyreek Hill is saying. I mean, you love the fact that Hill is, you know, defending and promoting, complimenting his teammate. They're not the same guy. You're not necessarily going to get that, you know, top two or three scoring level from Waddle, but can he be a league winner without that? I mean, I think he very clearly can. And from a dynasty perspective, I have him in there at wide receiver 14. You know, that could be a spot or two high, but I really like him as a mid-career type of player. And then I could easily see it as next season that he's in this position where, like a DJ Moore or a Brandon Ayuk, next year you should be selling. And Colin, you and I did the thing this past offseason when we took over the orphan, where we had a guy in Waddle that we really liked, but we were able to get a 2-for-1. Some aspects of that haven't worked out, but the reason that you do 2-for-1 is that you want both of those paths. And I still think that both paths are kind of interesting as we go forward. Again, when you have a player who has been good for as long as Waddle has been good, he's in a good situation, he has fantastic athleticism, the buy low, sell high portion of fantasy football becomes pretty easy on those types of players. You can't take that and extend it to guys who don't have that same track record and are perhaps a little bit more a product of their environment, because the buy low, sell high, I mean, the big seasons are going to be a little bit more a result specifically of things outside their control and vice versa. You want to be very aware of what the next season and the context for that next season is going to be like for them. But for a Waddle, for an Ayuk, for a Moore, you know, for a Samuel, I think it's really straightforward what you want to do when the players have that level of talent.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and I think when you mentioned, you know, wide receiver 14, and that I feel like that's fair. And I feel like that might be a little bit higher with our opinion and your rankings than maybe some other people may have him at this particular point. But even in season long in basketball, I think he's a very interesting play, because if we look at even, you know, 2022, when he had a solid second season, played 17 games last year, played 14, and in those 14 that he played, Sean, there was a few of them that he looked like he was pretty strongly beaten up, but finished with just three receptions less. He did finish with 300 yards less, but had 72 receptions last year for 1,014 yards and the four touchdowns with the three games less. So I think that, I don't think it, you need to call the bounce back, but our expectations last year was to push him into that 1,500 yards, you know, eight touchdowns category with 100 receptions. But I think that's very much in play, because I just think that the expectations heading into the season maybe made it feel like it was slightly or much worse than it was. I think he still had a strong season, but I'm excited to see what Waddle can do in 2024, as we are with a lot of players, and it'll be fun to start to talk about them along. We'll be talking about the rookies as well, the NFL draft, much, much more, but lots of exciting stuff to talk about here in 2024, and we're looking forward to doing that. Sean, as we get ready to wrap up today, any other final thoughts, or happy to close the door there?
Well, Colin, this is just a great time to mention Volume 2 of the Rookie Guide is out. We have almost 100 player profiles, rankings and tiers, mock drafts. Colin, I got to write up a lot from the Sports Info Solutions advanced data for these prospects. That was a lot of fun for me. We have Blair's prospect lab scores. We have Curtis's Sims. You can see which players historically are the most similar to these guys. Now that we have the combine information, we have a ton of combine visuals allowing you to see who are the most physically similar players using images from the Workout Explorer. It's still relevant this time of the year as you're trying to maneuver in small ways up and down the rookie draft board to get in that draft slot that's really going to accomplish your needs. I also have an article out on the site looking at where I think these guys are going to fall post combine. We'll continue to put those out and sharpen them for you so you can see, you know, up to date what we're thinking in terms of these drafts. But if you need to move up for a quarterback, if you're trying to figure out what the latest spot is to get a player from a certain tier at wide receiver, if you're trying to think through, you know, where can I get a running back who is going to be able to give me anything in this week running back class, that stuff is available on the site with the coupon code RVRadio2024. Colin, you don't have to buy the rookie guide, but I really enjoyed this year's. Anybody who is kind of fired up about Dynasty at this time of the season, it's a great asset there to have as you work through and familiarize yourself with these prospects. We'll have so much more here. We're going to have some shows with our favorite rookie and draft analysts. Curtis Patrick is going to have a ton of stuff on the site about Dynasty trades that you can make over the coming weeks. May have a few other wrinkles that I've kind of hinted at for the Dynasty product. This is such a fun time of the season, Colin. Go out there, get an orphan at the FFPC, play in the RV Triflex with us. You won't regret it.
Awesome couple of notes there from Sean. And of course, I'll drop the link for the rookie guide in today's show notes if you want to check that out. That is going to wrap us up for this edition of RotoViz Overtime. As always, make sure you are subscribed to the RotoViz Overtime podcast feed to get those once they are available. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at OvertimeIreland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. Check out Sean's work up on RotoViz.com and, of course, in the RotoViz Rookie Guide. Until next time, have a good one.
Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.